Welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so happy to have you as part of our conversation tonight. Every Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock Central, we have this show and we have a special guest. And once again, we have a very special guest, and it's Cheryl Swoop, the author of Simply Classical and the Simply Classical Homeschool Curriculum. And our topic tonight is going to be about adoption, special needs, and homeschooling, which is a very broad topic, which is great because that means that we can talk about just about anything and you can ask us just about anything in those parameters. But we just want to thank you for being part of this conversation and joining us tonight, and just for being part of the Sped Homeschool community. So Cheryl, as we get started, I just first want to thank you for taking time out. I know it's kind of been a crazy time in your family life, and just very difficult time too. And so I just want to thank you for taking time tonight to be with us and to talk about this subject, which
you are welcome.
Yeah, we've been covering adoption all month, but kind of different facets. And so tonight we're going to just kind of maybe fill in some gaps and talk about your story. And then we're just going to lead into, you know, some of the benefits that you've seen through the years of homeschooling with adopted children and special needs children, and just give some encouragement to parents. Definitely. You have a lot of it. And so if you're not familiar with Cheryl's book, this is what it looks like. It's called Simply Classical. And it's one of those where you earmark a lot of pages and you go back and you reread it. So Cheryl, can you share a little bit with us about your adoption story with your kids and your family, and just kind of how that all came about, and then just how homeschooling kind of came into that whole process?
Yes. First of all, a clarification, my last name is Swope. It just rhymes with rope. Yes.
So I usually ask and then I don't.
That's okay. Just for anybody who is curious. And then also Peggy referenced that it's a difficult time, and it is for our family. Just a few days ago, my father died. And so we are still grieving. My father was a wonderful man, lived to 85. Mm. We got to spend a lot of time with him, especially in these last weeks and months. And he was so excited years ago. It's been almost 23 years ago now, when we first brought a set of twins into our lives. He thanked us for giving him grandchildren through adoption.
So that's amazing.
It's only fitting. He was one of the biggest proponents of adoption because of our children. And so our story really is told in Simply Classical. You held up the book. We have a second edition now that just came out 2019. We have more stories, more detail, and just more updated resources, those sorts of things. But our story is told there. But just in a nutshell, my husband and I had been married for 5 years, praying for children all along. And every month when it became obvious that children were not coming, we were sad all over again. And people told us just to relax, that children would come if only we would relax. And we just kept praying for children. We kept trying to relax, but that really wasn't the issue, apparently. So 5 years in, we had a theological odyssey that led us to a deeper understanding of God's adoption of us into his kingdom. We'd been in sort of like a legalistic striving kind of religion. And when we started realizing that it was that everything is through his mercy, it changed how we looked at quite a few things, but including the possibility of adoption. And these verses in particular, he chose us in the beginning, before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself.
Yeah.
When we realized that adoption is fully Christian, it's a Christian picture.
Right.
That spurred us on to explore adoption. There were some things that we ruled out personally, just conviction-wise, and also financially, we had to rule some things out. We pursued adoption through the state. But we also had some concerns about going directly through the state. It depends on where you live, and it depends on your own personal choices, but we preferred going with Christian agencies. So we found the Salvation Army had contracted with our state to provide some FOST adopt children.
Wow.
We took classes through the Salvation Army. We became licensed on a Monday. And on a Tuesday, we received the phone call that that very next Tuesday, the phone call that would change our lives. When we went through the process, I don't know if everyone is like this, but the agency asked us to say what we would prefer. Like some people really wanted teens. Right. They felt very equipped to take on some teenage children. Some people wanted maybe Asian, maybe they already were, or they were, lived in a very mixed racial community, so they felt very comfortable with different backgrounds. And then there's special needs, and then there are twins, or just one, or whatever. We were supposed to say exactly what we wanted because they didn't want a poor match from the start. So we had said that we would love to have a boy and a girl eventually, and we really wanted the children to be under two. We had never had children. We wanted all those formative years. So that's what we put down on our form. And licensed on a Monday, got the phone call on a Tuesday, and our worker's name was Vicky. Vicky called and said, "Cheryl, I have a set of twins. They're one, and it's a boy and a girl." So we didn't think that they would come at the same time, this boy and girl, but we were just thrilled. So she said, "Would you be interested?" And I said, "Oh, yes, we would be very interested." So then she paused and she said, "There are some special needs." But I had a master's degree in special ed. I had worked in private school settings and public school settings. And I've always had a heart for children with special needs. So it was just a wonderful thing. And so she said, "They need to be placed by Sunday. And you'll need to meet them because they're already one. So they will need to feel comfortable going home with you."
Right.
So my daughter loves this story. She calls this baby tales. So at night, even today, they're 24 now. She wants to hear baby tales. But but just a quick baby tale is that when we went to their foster parents' home to meet them, this darling little girl with big blue eyes was being held by the older woman who's the foster mother. The two of them came to the door, and when I looked into her eyes and she looked into mine, she reached out for me, and I held her. And to this day, I have no idea who else was in that room. It was just such a wonderful moment. And then someone handed the little boy to my husband, who then said, "This little boy," as he snuggled into my husband's arms, my husband said, "This little boy may never learn to walk because I may never put him down." So just from the beginning, we bonded very quickly, but it became clear that those bonds would be very important because both children did have significant delays in coordination, speech, language, some cognition, and then there were just some aberrant things. Their biological mother had schizophrenia.
Okay. Yeah.
We knew that there was a likelihood that they would, one or both, would have schizophrenia too. And mental illness was not something we were prepared to tackle, we felt. But of course, in a way, we're not prepared to tackle anything, but for God's grace anyway. So we just... really, from the beginning, I felt like we homeschooled. We had private PT, OT, speech and language.
Right.
Homeschooling at that time, it was the mid-90s, was starting to be popular. So I had several good friends who were homeschooling.
That's helpful.
I really wanted to homeschool because I'm really a homebody at heart. But I wasn't sure it was the best thing for them. Given my special ed background, I thought maybe a special ed program would be better, something like that. I didn't want to do it just for me. I wanted to make sure I was doing
That's a good point.
If it would truly be better than for them. And my standard always became, if I could get something out of my children, if I could get more out of them, then someone else could, be it a therapist or whatever. Then I would go ahead and continue. But if ever I met someone who could get more out of my children than I could, then that's who I would pair my children with.
Well, I think that's
that could be a classroom, a school. Yeah. I was really open to anything.
Yeah.
But as it turned out, we were able to get quite a bit out of our children. They started making great gains. And we continued with our private therapies, OT, occupational therapy, PT, physical therapy, and speech and language. We continued with a children's hospital for those. But we homeschooled, essentially, all through their early childhood. Then I looked into a classical school in the St. Louis area where we are. And also a parochial school. Neither could take my children because of their special needs.
Right.
So at that point, we decided to homeschool.
We've got a comment here
and
from one of
It looks to me as if we have trouble with a connection that may just be on my end.
I'm seeing you fine,
so
and
I'm
hearing
going
you
to
fine.
Continue prattling on, assuming people can hear me. Okay. If not, somebody let me know. So once we decided that we could homeschool and would homeschool, then we thought we'll just take it 1 year at a time. There were only four at this time, and I thought that what I would do is just get them ready for kindergarten. But what I found, and this gets into your question, Peggy, about what are the benefits of homeschooling. What I found is that there was so much stability for my children with homeschooling that given their emotional needs and their academic needs, their learning disabilities. They have learning disabilities in processing. They have difficulties with working memory. They are both on the autism spectrum. They both have developmental coordination delay. And then they both had this sort of burgeoning mental illness. For my son, it was in the mood area. And for my daughter, it was in hallucinations and more overt psychosis. They both did in fact develop schizophrenia. So they have autism spectrum disorder, difficulties with working memory and processing. They both have schizophrenia, different types. And they both have they both had emotional needs just being adopted. So we found that the security, the familiarity, the predictability of our routine, all of these things played into success for them.
Right.
There wasn't any place that I could think of that would be better for them Monday through Friday at that time. So we did not send them on to kindergarten. And I can tell you that there was one family member in particular, it was my father-in-law, who said, "We will pay you if you send them to school. we will pay for the tuition. We will cover." He was just appalled that we would consider homeschooling, despite my background. Got a master's in special ed, but it was really unheard of. And he had sent all of his children through Catholic schools. They all had excellent educations. He didn't want them to miss anything, and he didn't want them to get a subpar education. And I do tell parents, young moms that are criticized for homeschooling, that I really believe that mostly it's concern, that the relatives are concerned.
Exactly.
And that's what he was. He was just, he was afraid that if we homeschooled that we would create hermits or children who could not read or something like that. And that was not my intention at all. So I set out to make sure that that was the last thing that was going to happen. So I tell this because it was the beginning of kindergarten when my father-in-law said, "We will pay the tuition if you send them." And I said, I just can't. And it was hard because I was already second guessing myself. But here's what happened. So my father-in-law was a very patriotic man. He was a World War II veteran. November, it was Thanksgiving. I remember it like it was yesterday, even though my children were just five at the time, and now they're 24. But they had been learning little bits and pieces of American history and learning to memorize things. I felt as if we were to work on their working memory, why do it in isolated exercises? Why not do it with substance so they could memorize something of value and improve their working memory, their stamina, their attention, their concentration, but at the same time, give them something to hold on to. So they memorized like sponges. I could not believe how much they would memorize. They'd memorize states and capitals. They, but they also, my earbud is falling out. They also memorized the preamble to the Constitution.
Wow.
So here they are at age five, and it was Thanksgiving, and I was not doing it so they would be precocious or, you know, they weren't to be arrogant about this or anything. It was just, I knew that this would really matter to my father-in-law. So, so I said, "Pop, we have something to share with you."
Oh, that's so sweet.
So he was sitting in his chair. The two of them came up. We have a picture of this, which I wish I could share with you right now. The two of them are all dressed up and they're standing there, and they recited the preamble to the Constitution. And and little by little, he was so won over that it was just a matter of years, just a few years later, where we were all at dinner and I overheard him not introducing us, but telling some friends who would come over to the table, "Oh yes, this is my son and his wife. They homeschool and you should hear what they can do." He became our biggest fan, and that stayed all the way through to high school graduation. So, well, one of our biggest fans, yes. So anyway, they will be won over, I believe, at least in our case, that's how that was.
Yeah, I had the same experience when we first started homeschooling. Was because my oldest was diagnosed, came home, and my parents were like, "Why are you doing that?" And then years later, because my parents have adopted 10, and so I have a lot of siblings that are still home, and my parents started homeschooling because they saw the results in my home, and they said, we've got to have that same thing here.
That's really something.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. It's when people stay long enough to see the results and how these children are progressing and how they feel about themselves. I'm sure your kids felt so good about, you know, what they could do. And that's what you focused on, was what they could do. And
you were
the
right.
Things helping them to be productive citizens and to learn the way they learn best and to work on those skills with, like you were saying, things that they could use in other instances. It's not just, you know, well, this is therapy and this is where I go and this is what I do. And then I go, you know, go home and do something completely different.
Exactly. Yes. And that was one of the things that we focused on early on, was that their lives were not to just be about receiving services, but their lives were to be of service to others, no matter their own challenges.
Yeah.
That single understanding of vocation or calling, that we all have callings, and their calling, my son's calling is to be a good son, and my daughter's calling is to be a good daughter and a good granddaughter, and to serve their neighbors. Our son today, he cannot work full time, but one of his jobs is to help a woman whose husband recently went into the nursing home. So all of a sudden she had to figure out how she was going to get her trash can from the bottom of her driveway all the way up the long driveway and back again. And in our little area, that happens twice a week because we have recycling on one day and trash on another day. And so, and she thought, who am I going to get to do this? And then a friend of ours said, well, Michael's looking for odd jobs. And she said, Michael Swope? Oh, that'll be perfect. So that's what he does. So he helps her. And and then he loves a good conversation. So invariably he will go and sit. We always have him take a walkie-talkie with him when he goes to take care of the trash can, just so he can get a hold of us. My kids don't have phones. But very often he will say, I'm going to go talk to so-and-so because she's home and she wants some company. So he'll do that. Aww. And it brings so much purpose to his life.
Right.
They're all just all kinds of little examples like that. But that's one thing that I saw that was missing in the special ed programs where I was. That we can definitely do as homeschoolers, because we see the need if we're in a church community or neighborhoods, and then we can match the strengths of our children with the needs.
Right. And, my mom had a heart attack, and one of my brothers had to go back into the special ed program after they had homeschooled for a while. And he had an incredible work ethic. He loved volunteering and doing all these things. And then after a year or two in that program, that all stopped, because he was in that later high school years, and they just kept telling him, you're not going to do anything with your life. I mean, it was just kind of just get used to receiving services, having fun, and he bought into it. And so,
well, and hopefully that's not the norm, but there is some regression that can happen, and there's some kind of learned passivity. I think maybe I just coined a new phrase, but that's what we have seen sometimes with, like, the adult day programs. Sometimes they can lean that way, but it's not always like that.
Always,
and I will say that our public school special ed program is very much into helping students do more than just be passive.
That's great.
Right. Yeah. And and I know that there are some out there, so I do not want to slam those for sure.
Right. No.
Because some are better than others. And as we know, some homeschoolers, some homeschools are better than others. And for mm-hmm. ourselves, some days were better than other days.
Isn't that true?
Some years were better than other years. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just, but the main thing is focusing really on what they can do. And I would tell my children where your strengths and your interests come together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're going to be of most service to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You can be interested in something, but that doesn't mean it's going to translate into a job for you.
Right. It may be a hobby or.
Right. You can have, right. Mm-hmm. But you also have to have some aptitude for it. Right.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. now my daughter, by contrast, she has a gift of compassion.
Mm.
And she likes things to move slowly. She feels very quickly like things are chaotic.
Oh, wow.
She'll mm-hmm. she'll express something as just being bedlam or being a zoo. And mm-hmm. the rest of us are looking and thinking, it doesn't seem like that to us, but to her it is. So,
right.
So we take compassion. We take mm-hmm. an interest in having sedate things. She works at mm-hmm. a nursing home.
Oh, well, that's perfect.
She's an activities aide twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
She also, as someone on the autism spectrum, she speaks very loudly, clearly, mm-hmm. and with good diction
mm-hmm.
and good inflection. Well, it's perfect.
That is perfect for all those with hearing aids.
They have hearing difficulties. They love the fact that she doesn't mumble like so many other teens.
Yes.
Or young people. Mm-hmm. So that's what she does.
Yeah. Well, and you spent your whole life with these children and now adults. And as you study, I mean, that's part of what we do as homeschool moms. We study our kids and we learn how they tick. And so, you know, finding them these places where they fit, you know, it was a natural progression, basically, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, definitely. And it's also finding the right adult mm-hmm. because you can have the strengths and the interests, but then if you don't have that one wonderful adult who will take the person under their wing, then under his or her wings, yes, then it may not work. And we have had situations like that
mm-hmm.
where it's just incredibly important to find that one person who understands these are all of the needs, and we don't sugarcoat it anymore because we want to know up front, are you really willing to take mm-hmm. on this person and all of the needs before we sign up for something?
That's a really good point. Yeah, I think my dad said at one point, he said, you document the worst because it's not that you want to remember it, but when you need to ask for help and you need to ask for services, that's what you need to talk about.
Right.
And yeah, it's unfortunately that is the case, but you through time, sometimes you can even forget that and to just be able to have
right.
it written down and say, oh yes, I remember now.
Yes, it's a good point. And it's also important for when we're not around because they're going to need, we think about that now, my husband and I, and they're going to need somebody who understands their needs. And if it's all just in our minds, in our minds, mm-hmm. then that's not going to be happening. And we may look for the best in our children, but we do have to be able to say what the worst can be if they're not given that structure and that gentle routine that mm-hmm. we've given them, that they've come to rely on.
Right.
And, a quick story about that. We had a whiteboard up, a big whiteboard up in our main eating area all mm-hmm. through homeschooling. And initially it would just be pictures of the progression of the visual schedule for the day. Mm-hmm. But then we could put words up once they could read. And mm-hmm. those became our guidelines. I went over them every morning for the kids. We mm-hmm. had a vertical one for the day, and then I had a horizontal one at the bottom for the week.
Mm-hmm.
We would make sure that they knew exactly what was coming. Hmm. Even if it was a change, then we tried to help them see, of course, that this change was going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that we're going to, and I put up at the board, be flexible and agreeable.
So that was for you as well as them, right?
That's right. And then my son is subject to low mood. So he would get everything's unfair and nothing's ever fun. And so for our horizontal part, I put the various things that we were looking forward to throughout the week. So on Tuesday, we're going to do this. And just to keep his mood up, that there are, in fact, some fun things coming. Well, one day, I had not yet put the vertical day-to-day routine up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I went to bed late or whatever. And usually I could get up early enough to do this before they would come down the stairs and look at the board.
Yeah.
But this particular day, there was nothing up there.
Mm.
And my son, Michael, came down the steps. And he said, "Mom, today doesn't exist."
Oh, no.
It exists. I just don't have it up there yet.
But that's good vocabulary.
Right. So we do transition them now that they're 24. We still kind of do homeschool too. And I think it's an important topic that we haven't really talked about much in homeschool.
That's a really good point, because we have a lot of parents who now come and talk to us about this. And I really do encourage them to keep going. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I will say first that their psychiatrist, and we loved her, she actually came to their graduation party. She was wonderful. We saw her every 8 weeks. You can imagine twins with schizophrenia. You need to stay in touch with
kind of that for your person. Family, right?
Yes. So she was sort of like extended family. When we got to age, I don't know, 19, I guess, and we had done high school graduation. She had come to the party. We really didn't know how to not homeschool. It was the oddest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and she said, "Cheryl, school is over." And I thought, oh, okay. So that's when we signed up my daughter for an adult day program.
Mm-hmm.
And we made some other arrangements for my son. And it wasn't long before we saw things decline. We saw the interest decline. We saw their cognition decline. We saw their vocabularies decline.
Right.
And we saw their weight increase, because wherever they went, they were eating not good foods. And and that's just so important for their brain health.
Right,
to keep their nutrition up, to keep their exercise up. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of everything that we had done in homeschooling was really hard to duplicate in other places.
Right.
So, and yet I knew that it really wasn't okay to just keep homeschooling, partly because I wasn't going to be able to do that for the rest of my life, to do 6 hours and continue in Latin and math and all of the things that we had done. So we just decided that we would kind of have heart-to-heart talks individually.
Mm.
What are you wanting to do as an adult? What do you want to continue studying? What do you want help with? What do you think you could do independently?
Right.
And we formed from that like an adult program, a young adult program that they could both continue. We didn't really call it school. We don't have grades.
Well, but you're lifelong learners. I mean, as an adult, we need to keep doing that ourselves to stay healthy mentally and physically.
Yes.
And,
right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my daughter has a list of things that she must do that coincide with her goals. And that's important, is what are your goals? Now these are not so much curricular needs,
yes,
but your own goals. She studies poetry and voice, literature. She loves Shakespeare. So as a family, we attend Shakespeare plays whenever we can. There's a local theater group that has, I don't know, they're just so nice to us. They, I think it's, well, the leader was a homeschooling mom, so, and has a child with special needs. So I don't know that why I wonder, but she sets aside tickets for us so we can go. So that's my daughter's, along with exercise and chores. And my son studies history because he works at a local history museum, loves local history. Awesome. Our town is rich in it. Mm-hmm. Our town was founded in 1735. So we have a lot of little museums around. Mm-hmm. So he studies history, he studies the Bible, and he studies the catechism. He would love to have been a pastor, and he was not able to do that. So he wants to just stay up as a well-read lay person.
Right.
And then he helps my husband a lot around the house. So we have, and my daughter and I still study Latin at her request too, but we just do so slowly. Yeah. So that's kind of how we have created an after graduation education with them. Then they both play sports. They play special needs basketball and baseball. And that's their camaraderie, I guess, with other young adults and older adults who have special needs.
Neat. Yeah, that's usually when parents approach me and they say, we want to keep homeschooling. The whole question about goals is usually what I approach them with is, you know, why do you want to do this? Is your student more comfortable with it? What would they enjoy most out of it? Or what would they get out of it? And how will this help them? Because sometimes they're in the mindset, we're just going to keep going like we did. And that's not usually the best route to take. But that whole transitioning and lifelong learning is definitely, I completely agree with you that, and that's really neat that you can see the differences, because you've got two at the same age that are, you know, taking these different routes and choosing their own things that they love to do and love to study and want to continue growing in.
Right. And thankfully, too, they both wanted to contribute to the household. They both need to be supervised. So they remain with us for now. Mm-hmm. And yet they both stated that they wanted a job. So I was very pleased with that they want to contribute to the church. They want to save a little, have a little bit of spending money, of course, and then they want to contribute to the family too. So it's been an interesting transition, but I think it's been a good one, and we're closer as a family now that they're now that they are adults.
That whole transition it's scary at the same time as wonderful. I've enjoyed my adult children definitely. So we have some comments. I want to bring those up. First was Megan. She said, so happy to hear from Cheryl. Her testimony inspires me.
Thank you.
Inspire many people. And then Trisha, thank you for letting us know that you could hear both of us, because sometimes we have no idea what's going on. And then Amy had said, I'm specializing in their strengths. I love this.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah. And then we have a question too. It says, do you have any advice for Christian homeschoolers who are more progressive or liberal in their theology and politics? And I know, you know, like a classical approach doesn't mean that it's a one size, you know, shove into, you know, this is the way you have to do it. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, just your approach to homeschooling and how parents, you know, just how your own beliefs kind of molded what you taught your kids? And because I know it's not the same for everyone who teaches in the classical method.
Well, I think the person was asking, though, about Christian homeschooling. Can you pop that back up again?
Yep.
Christian
This was
homeschooling for
from our
someone
teaching.
who's, do you have any advice for Christian homeschoolers who are more progressive, liberal in their theology and politics? So I think that this person is saying that she or he is more progressive liberal in theology and politics.
But I mean, as homeschoolers, we teach our children what we believe.
Sure.
I don't know if that's
I'm not sure what the advice.
Right. Well, you know, what I would say is, you know, I teach my children what I believe. And as a homeschooler, I have the ability to do that. As a parent, you know, that's my parental right to do so. And whatever religion you fall under, you know, as a Christian, you know, that is how we teach our kids. That's, you know, that's the environment they grow up in, our homes anyways. And so I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
I guess I wish if the person is still there, I would like a little more clarification what the advice is,
right?
What advice is being sought. But Christianity itself, of course, is based in truth. So seeking truth in your homeschool and knowing that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me."
Right. Yeah.
Ultimately, we end up, no matter what we're pursuing academically or vocationally, our calling as Christian homeschoolers, no matter our politics or anything, is to lead our children to Christ and to know that they are loved eternally in Him, and they have eternal life in Him. And that formed our homeschool. No matter the academics, no matter what else was going on medically or emotionally or anything else, we made sure that we started with our Bible reading. And the scriptures themselves point to Christ. The Holy Spirit works through that word. I always felt like I trusted that the Holy Spirit was helping me, especially with my son. And I would just rely on the word to do the work in my son's heart that needed to be done, especially when I knew that I couldn't. So Bible was the time for us to start our day. Even though I knew that they were well versed in the scriptures, and they needed to work on their math perhaps more than on their scriptures, but we had to start. I learned that the hard way. We had to start with reading the Holy Scriptures and singing a hymn. That set the tone for the rest of the day.
It really does. Yeah.
And if we did not, if I tried to think, oh, I'll save time by not doing that, it didn't do any of us any favors. So that just became what we had to do.
I think that's good advice just all around. I mean, I even know, you know, with my life, you know, I need to start with truth in the morning, because if you just go off and do all your stuff, it gets lost in the day. And grounding yourselves right away and teaching your kids that discipline and starting that out, it becomes a good natural habit that they build.
Right. And just teaching them to where their strength comes.
Exactly.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. And
if
we teach them that, then they know where to go.
So very true. Megan had an interpretation. I don't know if that's exactly what they meant, but she said maybe they're asking advice on Christian homeschooling, but not necessarily in the classical approach, a more progressive approach. There's lots of different approaches to homeschooling.
Right.
Christian homeschooling.
Sure.
There's, yeah.
Yes. Well, I think that no matter the approach, if you will, what we are saying holds true for any person who is homeschooling a child with special needs. And this would be true even in families that don't hold to a liturgical understanding or whatever it is, their politics may be different or whatever.
Right.
But there are some key things about homeschooling that will help any child with special needs. One of the things we mentioned was predictability, to make sure that they know what is expected of them. It's true in any school or any academic setting, anything that has to do with children. Make sure that the children know what's expected of them.
Yeah.
Provide them a gentle routine. Let them know that they are in good hands, that you are prepared.
Yes.
You're ready to lead them through the day. You're not going to get...
It takes away that anxiousness, and you can't learn when you're anxious.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's especially true for so many children right now are anxious. And then it's also true for our children on the autism spectrum, but really any of our children. And then keep the lessons brief and successful. I did a lot of tutoring before homeschooling. I loved tutoring. I love the one-on-one. I just really do.
I still tutor.
And ending that session on success is just, that's one of the best things that you can do. That's good advice for anyone, no matter what your approach.
Yeah. The young man that I tutor, we play a memory game because he has really poor working memory, and he always beats me. I try hard to beat him, but boy, is he good. But he ends on success, you know, with those games, because I can tell when the math is just fatiguing his brain, and we've had enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So Tricia had a question for you. She said, at what age did you transition to your adult routine with your kids? Right now, our 14-year-old would twaddle her way away her day if not made to follow our structure. I have a hard time seeing her ready to say that she would like to learn and make goals, maybe someday. But I feel that's a far off thing.
That's a really good question. And hello, Tricia. Nice to have you here. She's one of our Simply Classical families. We have a Facebook group that's Warrior Press Simply Classical Families. So it's a private group. And I will say that we have not transitioned out of supervision. That is for sure. We also have children that seems like a very far off goal. And honestly, we have come to understand that that's a goal that is not likely to ever happen. So they both have charts. They have things that they have to look at to check over, but we don't assume that that's going to happen without us checking.
Right.
They're checking.
Yeah.
So what's the...
So when did
what's
they...
the phrase? Don't expect what you don't inspect.
Okay.
That's still,
yes, exactly.
That's still true for us.
When do you think they started taking a little more ownership as to what they wanted to learn?
We started that in high school.
Okay.
And electives. We didn't go outside of the academic realm in electives. We still wanted it to be called school. So my daughter, as I mentioned, she shifted more to poetry and literature. She wanted to study French. She wanted to study Latin. She wanted to study voice. My son shifted more toward, he really wanted to study mathematics and history and theology. We allowed for some emphasis areas in the high school times. And now we have them also choosing some of their specialty areas, if you will. My daughter, Michelle, has written two books of poetry. There, if you go to Amazon.com, you see Michelle Swope. She has what she calls fireside poetry. That's just a love for her. Mm. However, we still require certain things to be done that are just necessary for both of them. Mm. Exercise, chores, right. In our case, Bible reading also. And they have chores that are listed by day. Mm-hmm. They have, my son has a chore chart and he has a challenge chart too. And his challenge chart is to satisfy his own goal of keeping his mind strong, despite mm-hmm. his schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. He really wants his mind to be strong, but he's not on his own going to do what's necessary to keep his mind and his body strong.
Right.
So he just needs that support.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the answer is we began probably high school and have continued into young adulthood. And we intend to continue for as long as the Lord strengthens us to be able to continue to provide care for them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's good to point out every child is different when they get to that point. You know, there's not some magical age that they're just going to say, I've got it. I will set my own goals and I will pursue them myself. You know, and maybe it's a point where you as a parent hand it off to a caregiver at some point to help your kids do that. And they don't ever do that completely on their own. But
yes. And there are all kinds of different services, too. We have self-directed services in our state that I use, where I have select individuals that we have hired to work on goals. Because one thing that has been really helpful is to make sure that it's not all mom or dad, but that we have this team, really, of outside adults, like the supervisor at my daughter's nursing home. Mm. She's someone who helps my daughter, the supervisor at the history museum for my son, but then also these personal assistants that we have. They are more the kid's age.
Mm-hmm.
They're handpicked childhood friends who now are married young adults who are very capable. And they help my son wants to be strong. So the personal assistant goes on 6-mile hikes that I would not be doing myself.
Definitely.
So we still have a team of people that help, because we want them to be as independent as possible. And again, this is just our situation. Many young adults with special needs, there's a whole spectrum, can live in independent or supported living settings,
right.
Or a group home, or they can have an apartment, they can go to college. There are just so many different things. I'm really only speaking about our very narrow experience.
Right. And as a parent, you take little steps towards independence with them and see what works. I mean, there's no right or wrong and no simple solution, unfortunately, either.
No formula. But we do, I think that partnering with their goals, that's with their own goals, that's the key, because then they know that you're on their side. You're trying to help them achieve their own goals. And I often tell my son, we want you to have freedom. We want you to be as free and successful as you can be.
Right.
But as soon as we see that we have made a mistake and given you more freedom than you're ready for, then we will pull that back until such a time as it seems that we can extend that further.
I love that you put that back on yourself. You know, you don't say, well, you pushed it too far, or it was more like we allowed too much. That's a really good way to frame that. Just wanted to point that out, but yeah, definitely. So we just have a couple minutes left. Is there anything you want to wrap up with as we're finishing? And we want to thank all of you for being part of our conversation as well. If there's anything you have last minute to add, we'd love that too.
I would be remiss to if I didn't say that One of the wonderful things for us that happened with our homeschooling is that Memoria Press, a homeschooling publisher, wanted to tell our story. That's where the book Simply Classical came from. Simply Classical, a beautiful education for any child. And this is not just, I'm trying to get this in the, there we go.
Yep, there we go.
This is not just for people who want a classical education. This really is a story about any family who, or for, it's for any family who wants to bring out the best in their children who have special needs.
Yeah, you have so many good resources in there.
Through homeschooling, right. And yes, thank you. There are a lot of, as we said, updated resources. And from the book, which was so warmly received in the homeschooling community especially, Memoria Press asked, could we create a curriculum for children with special needs so that parents would have something, they wouldn't have to create something on their own.
Right.
They would just have something, open and go. So yes, we indeed have done that. It starts at age two. It's what I wish I would have had. It's very open and go. It's very read aloud oriented, very, very much literature. It's visual, auditory, kinesthetic, tactile.
Yeah.
All of those things are woven in. So we kind of weave in OT and even in the early years, PT, certainly speech and language, weaving all of those things into the curriculum. It's age two all the way up through 21, which is what I really wish I would have done. I kind of wish we would have formally extended to 21 like so many special ed programs do. Right. I think we stopped at, like you said, kind of an artificial, okay.
Seems about the right age.
Time to graduate, yeah. And so we make this available. There's a faster track. There's an accelerated track for students that don't need to go to 21 because some.
And I want to bring that faster. This is the website. Right. It's memoriapress.com/curriculum/special-needs.
Right.
Yes.
And the faster is just simply, it's simplyclassical.com. That will get you there too. So we have a catalog that's free that has a lot of encouraging articles just for anyone who is parenting or teaching a child with special needs. And you can sign up for that. Just look around, lots of resources available.
Definitely.
And so we feel like all of our hard years have been redeemed because God has brought such goodness from that to help other families. And that was my daughter's intent when she asked me to tell her story in the beginning. She said, Mom, I want my story to help other children like me.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, Amy said it's such a beautiful and wonderful story. And Tricia said, I got the new one and gave the old one away.
Perfect plan.
Yes. And Amy says, I recommend your book to parents all the time. Thank you for sharing your story and thank you for talking tonight. So let's see. And then I think there was one more. Losing them. Oh. This one and giving, thank you for sharing your, Amy says, thank you for sharing your story and giving others a wonderful helping hand up when many, many can feel like they're barely treading water. And we do that. That is the norm of homeschooling special needs. I think I told one person one time, I said, I thought when I got to that like 5-year mark, I would know everything. And then I realized, no, I just became comfortable with not knowing anything at all. And kind of just going with the punches. So, yeah, that's just what you do. So, well, thank you so much, Cheryl. This has been an
encouragement. You are welcome.
And whether people have adopted kids or not, or, you know, have special needs kids and are homeschooling, you know, what you have to say and the encouragement you have to give is definitely something that needs to be heard widespread. And I'm thank you. Thank you just for sharing with us. And I know you speak at a lot of conferences. So you get some coming up, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have great homeschool conventions. I will be in South Carolina and Texas and in Cincinnati. And then this is our debut. My daughter is joining me for the St. Louis one because it's so close. So we will be at that one together, and I'm thrilled. I think that will be so much fun.
Yeah.
So she's going to speak and read her poetry at the end of our sessions. And we're very excited about that girls convention together.
Yes, I know my daughter's coming to Iowa with me, and she's excited to do the booth again. She's like, yeah, I like doing that. I like visiting with the people. I'm like, oh, good. All right. Well, thanks again. And Trish even says, thank you for sharing. We all benefit and learn from you. And so definitely look up the Simply Classical. It's on Facebook, right? Your support group, your close.
Yes. Group. Yes.
So definitely look for that.
Simply Classical Families. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Well, this wraps up our adoption month. This went really fast. February's over almost. And next week, as we dive into March, we're going to be talking about different tips, tricks, things that really help with homeschooling and children who struggle. And we're going to kick that off next week with talking about the value of special education testing for struggling learners with Tasha Douglas. And she runs a company called Top Assessment and Testing. And just talking a little bit about what those tests that your child maybe came home from public school with, and you've got the results and you're going, what do I do with these? And how can I glean something from them? And so she's going to go over some of those tests and just what they tell you, and how you can use that to teach your children strengths. So that'll be exciting. So, but thank you again, all of you, for joining us. Thanks again, Cheryl.
Thank you, Peggy.
Time. And I'm glad that you were able to share this story. And like you said, your father was a great proponent for homeschooling. And just thank you that during this hard time with your family, that we just appreciate you taking this time to share the encouragement for so many families. So. So thanks, everybody. And we will see you again next week right here. Same places, same time. And have an awesome week. And we'll see you then. Bye, everybody.
God bless you all.
God bless.